Brothers and sisters, good morning. It's so quiet in here. We miss the children. I wonder if we are fully aware of how fortunate, how tremendously blessed each one of us really is, how we are blessed together, but how each one of us has received an amazing blessing from the Lord. I have here what this is all about. You can see the inside, but just forget about that. The cover fell off. Today is a gift. It's a gift from the Lord. And when someone has a gift for you, very seldom do you turn your back on that individual. You reach out to the person, no matter what the gift is, what the size, what the color, what the actual content of that gift is. You reach out to receive it. And for us, when we speak about worship being the ultimate response to God's love for us is a gift. I think I said it some time back when I was here at the beginning of the year, that Jesus Christ is God's amazing love gift. It was formed in love. It was spoken about in love. It was manifested in love. I love the scriptures because it says, in the fullness of time, God fulfilled what he had promised. He sent forth his son, born of a woman. It was real. Jesus, the love gift of God, is real. And it is he who has put that desire in your heart to be here in spite of whatever you're going through. And I'm going to do something that came to my mind at the beginning, at least while I was sitting there. If there is a particular need that you have this morning, even before we get into this message, before we start to meditate on God's word, I'm going to ask you, you don't have to say what that need is, but I'm going to ask you to stand wherever you are. If there's a particular need that you have, because as we invite the Spirit of the Lord God to teach us, we're also going to be asking him to meet your needs. So whatever your need might be, I'm going to ask you to stand where you are. And the others of us, we are going to bow our heads and believe that God will meet the need. So feel free to stand, whatever your need is. Because the Lord, who encouraged you to be here, he is here, and by the power of his Spirit, he will minister to each one of us, including those who might be a part of this whole experience on the internet. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we do acknowledge your holiness. We praise you for your loveliness. We worship you for your amazing goodness. And the fact that you are so faithful to us, oh God, you said that whatever need we have, that you are able to supply it according to your riches in glory. And as we bow here, Lord God, as a needy people before you, we are bowing as a people who know our God is able. And in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, reach out to each individual and meet that need, that that person may rejoice in you, O Lord, as being the one who is able to supply. Father, you have done it before, and you are able to do it even now as we wait on you, as we worship and bless you for who you are. So in the name of Jesus Christ, receive your response to the need that you have reached out to God for. He is faithful. And as you embrace it, he says, when you ask, believe, hallelujah, that you have received. and you will experience it. Lord, we thank you for doing it, and we ask that you allow this word, that you will speak to us, to radiate right through our whole beings, that our whole concept of what it is to worship you will be transformed. To the glory and praise of Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses had been encouraged by the Lord to give the Israelites, his people, his chosen people, some commands. And he did that. And the Lord said to him to give them a particular message. We won't be able to read the whole of Deuteronomy because we have to also slip into St. Luke. But from verse 4 to verse 9, especially from verse 4 to verse 9, you're going to see some marvelous words. It's what they call the Shema, that every single Hebrew boy, every single Hebrew child should learn by heart. Verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. This command that I give you today, these commands, sorry, that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the frames of your houses and on your gates." They are to consume you. They are to overflow you. They are to energize you. They are to excite you. They are to motivate you. Because in doing that, they will glorify me by the life that you live. That is the word. The Lord God wants them, the word, that word to love the Lord, to be something that is personal. I might be getting ahead of myself here, but forgive me. To be personal, to be family oriented, to be community oriented, and to be nation impacting. It was to charge and chart the worship of God. And when Jesus came, especially in St. Luke chapter 15, he said to his disciples, "I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may be even more fruitful." And then he says in verse 4, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." I want to just run on to a couple of verses. Further down, it says, verse 9, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." Listen to this one. "Now remain in my," what's the next word? You can talk in here. The next word is "remain in my," you can say it a little louder. "Remain in my," thank you so much. There's still some people who are sleeping. "If you obey my command, you will remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." As I said, worship is an invitation. It's a gift. And it is absolutely necessary for the children of God, for the people of God to recognize that they are to be worshipers. Because within that whole activity of worship, that response to the gift of God, that response to God's invitation, we are actually acknowledging the greatness of our God who makes covenant freely with us. When you read the scriptures, you will see at least two groupings in Hebrew and Greek for the word worship. One has to do with labor and service, so you can make a note of that, labor and service. Whereas the second group has to do with bowing or bending the knee. The first one speaks about how the priests in the temple offered service unto God. They labored, as it were, in the tabernacle. And the second one speaks about how the individual gives homage, honors the worth of the Lord God. So when you read of the encounter between God and Abraham and Moses in chapter 4 and verse 31 of Exodus, you will see the concept of bowing the knee in that section. And there is I think it is in Genesis 15, where it speaks about Abraham bowing himself before the Lord. And then you read a little bit further in this book that we read, first of all, Deuteronomy chapter 32, you will see the command to ascribe praises, ascribe glory, ascribe honor to the Lord. So you have some concepts before your mind's eye. Labor and service. Bowing your knee, which is, when we think about it, we're speaking not only of our knee, but we are bowing our hearts before the Lord. So we recognize that worship then is offering to God service, offering to God our adoration and our actions. Our adoration cannot be separate from our actions. Our actions cannot be separate from our adoration. It is a unity. And if you go right back to what we read, when God spoke to the children of Israel, he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is," you can talk to me, "the Lord is one." No compartmentalization whatsoever. This is a little bit of homework for you. I'm not going to work you too hard. It's supposed to be March break, but that has ended. In Psalm 19, if you look at Psalm 19 when you get home, you won't be able to do it now or you'll miss too much. From verse 1 to verse 6, the psalmist recognize that the Lord is beautiful in creation. And he reverenced the Lord because of his acts in creation. For his mighty works, for his amazing power and beauty. But then from verse 7, right through to the end, verse 11, he looked and he says, "For the Lord, law of the Lord is perfect." So he reverenced God because his word is an assured word. It is a perfect word. So that means that when you focus and you hold on to the word of the Lord, you can be absolutely certain that you're going to get justice, fairness, purity in his dealings with you. Because he is the Lord and he knows how to do it so well. When you get home, you read. So God redeemed us. I love to go back to Hosea. God made each one of us special. Hosea said he made us a people who were once no people. He did it by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of the perfect sacrifice. He redeemed us so that we could come to that place of offering him right worship, worship that he would be pleased with. And that worship must come from a life that is total, even as he is total. So let's look at something this morning. You've come into the sanctuary, or what we call a sanctuary, and I'm very mindful of how Pastor Green would say that our bodies are the sanctuary. This is just the place where we worship. But let's just for the moment say we have come into this place that has been set apart for the worship of the Lord. Is that good? But this should have been the continuation of what had been happening before. Because we come into this place expecting to meet with the Lord, to come into the presence of the Lord. But really and truly, we should have been right through the week in the presence of the Lord. As a redeemed child of God, I am called by the Lord to seek his face every single moment. Not only one particular day in one particular place. So when I get up in the morning and I remember that this is the day that the Lord has made and I'm supposed to do what? Rejoice and be glad because he has allowed me to see this new day. And I honor him for giving me eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart that beats, feet that move, hands that do all sorts of strange things, and a mind that thinks about him but can also be funny and strange. And I realize that when I said to the Lord, Lord, I need wisdom and understanding so that I may be able to do what is set before me. And I go through the day, and at the end of the day, and I probably look back and see, truly the Lord was with me. I am bringing that revelation of the Lord from wherever I was during the course of the 7 days, or the 6 days that leads up to the seventh day, the Sunday, you might say the first day of the week. Call it whatever you want to call it. The fact of the matter is that 6 days I was in the presence of the Lord because I knew I could not survive without him. And as I come together, and we were saying in our worship session in our class, that when you were in the presence of the Lord and you were in the presence of the Lord and we come together, there is an aroma. You know how you put on your perfume? And when you come into the room, somebody looks. Because the smell affects that person. Isn't that true? And you want to know what brand it is because it is so special. And if possible, you would love to get some of that. What is actually happening is that when the people of the Lord who were in his presence right through the week come together to worship, it should be a time and a place when the power of the Lord God is real. So you do not have to ask yourself, what was I doing there? What was the sense of my presence in Markham Missionary Church that morning? No. You know that there was a reason. What was the reason? You met with the Lord among the people of the Lord God.
And it had nothing to do with the band. It had nothing to do, as Pastor Sam said, with the organ or the piano or the saxophone or the trumpet or violin. No. Those are only additives, things that God has given to us. The early church didn't have that. But God has gifted us with that ability, and he has gifted us with those instruments. And now we use them to do what? To glorify the Lord. So though it might seem strange to be in such an arrangement, God is saying to us, even as you offer to him that, he will bless it. And as the people who don't have that ability say, Lord, cover that person with the blood of Jesus Christ and give them the right mind, give them the right understanding, so that as they use that gift, they will be ministering to you in the way that they're supposed to. What happens with that attitude, with that mentality? The enemy cannot get the opportunity to then start making you quarrel and say, what? I don't like this. I don't like that. No. Because you are beginning to understand that is the beautiful gift of the Lord. And Lord, help them to know that what you want them to do is not only the playing, but the offering of the heart. And as you do that, the blessings of the Lord come upon you, because you are in the presence of the Lord. You allow your mind to be renewed. People in the back, forgive me. These things are not on the script. But really and truly, what we have to realize is that God, the Lord God, has given to each one of us a gift. I don't know what your gift is, but it's a special gift, because it is a gift born of love. It says that worship is a gift between lovers. But before we do this, can we sing this song?
Amazing grace.
Help me sing.
How sweet the sound
that saves. Transformed his heart, and he put to music, maybe a song that he heard, music that he heard, and he responded to God in that way. Today we sing Amazing Grace, but we sing it slightly different. Brother Allen, are you very close to me? Can you just put it the words? We sing it this way, and you know it. Now, we sang without music, because they didn't have any music in those days. Can you come, Pastor Sam, because you need to use your guitar. This wasn't given to him either, so he is now coming to it. You see, the early disciples, when they met together for worship, they always came prepared. When you read Colossians, you will see that they came ready to give a song, a testimony, a prayer, a prophecy. They didn't come just to sit down and soak up everything. No, they came not to be passive, but to be active, because they know the Lord God had done something for them whereof they were glad and they were willing to share it. You have the right key? 31. You see, we need to understand how God is moving us, changing us, transforming us. And as we allow the Spirit of God to do that, we will be moved, as what St. Paul said, from one degree of glory to another. God don't want us to remain at the same place that we were four years ago, yesterday, day before, or wherever. we are supposed to grow. Jesus actually said, but grow. Be perfect. Be like your Father. And Paul says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we normally sing this song in this church on morning. So we're going to, I think you're ready. Or I'm going to leave you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit lives within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. Moving us along a path that if we are free and willing and humble enough and obedient enough, there's something amazing that is going to take place. Because as I said, he who loved us first want his love to be revealed to others. How do I know this? If there's one chapter in the New Testament that I love tremendously, is in St. John chapter 17. When Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, was saying to his Father, Father, I have glorified you in the earth. I have finished everything that you have given me to do. But he goes on. He was praying for his disciples. And then he goes on and he says, Father, I am praying. I'm not only praying for these that you have given to me, but I'm praying for those who will believe because of the testimony of those whom you have given to me. I am a product of that prayer. You in here who know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are products of that prayer. A prophetic prayer that Jesus had prayed. And the disciples who heard him pray allowed the love of God to permeate their beings. And then when the Spirit of God fell on them as Jesus had promised on the day of Pentecost, and they were baptized in the Spirit of God, when the love of God fell on them and the holy boldness came to them, they spoke the word with power. And people heard. And people asked, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And those persons became what? Believers in Jesus. And right down through the years, the message of God's love, amazing love, traveled from one person to the other, one area of the world to another, and it came to me in the Caribbean many years ago. Because God had appointed an opportunity for me long before I was born to hear the word and to open, give me a heart that would be responsive to his word. And I did. And as the years went by, I became a new creation in Jesus Christ, being transformed little by little, more and more into what he wants me to be. And I'm still learning. And it was simply because somebody dared to worship God enough, to love God enough, to obey the word in Deuteronomy chapter 6 enough, so that little guy called Stephen, who was a very naughty guy, could hear the word
and say, but have Jesus Christ. What God is saying to us here, Markham, it is not the format. It is not the comfort in which we worship. But it has to be the love. You see, as you receive the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God that was so magnificently displayed, you become a lover too, and that love moves you to worship. And the more you worship, the more the Lord brings you into that place where you want to worship more. And then your heart being filled with such joy and thanksgiving, you will want to say, but Lord, it is not good for me to remain here with this goodness. I have to do what I haven't been doing before. I can't keep it to myself, says Andrew Cross. I have to tell somebody else. And you go, forgive me if I sound a little noisy, and you go to somebody else and tell them God loves you. And that God is able to meet your need. God has a purpose for you. And if you only give him a chance, you will see that the Lord is able to do for you more than you can ever begin to imagine. And as that person or those persons reach out to the Lord, you see the transformation taking place in their lives. What the Lord requires of us is that we become worshipers. This is why Jesus said, in St. John chapter 4 and verse 24, to that woman, the time is coming when the true worshipers must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. It is not the act. It is the experience. So what has God given to you so that you can worship him? God has given you faith to believe him. So you worship him with the faith that he offers to you. And the more you worship him, the more faith he gives you. I would like to share a story of my own experience, but I don't know if that is what I'm supposed to do, so I'm going to keep myself quiet. If anybody wants to know, you come to me after. I will share it with you because it is one of those stories where God receives all the glory. But you offer to him your faith. And as you trust him, he increases your faith. And whatever he gives to you, whatever material gifts he gives to you, you worship him with those gifts. And when you give, what is this in Luke chapter 6? He says, when you give, he will give again. He said he will give it to you. Pressed down. Shaken together. And overflowing. When you get home, read St. Luke chapter 6. Forgive me for giving you so much work. But you offer God your faith, the faith that he gives to you. You offer to God the material gifts. The woman offered God what she had. It was a mite. That's what it called. And Jesus said she had given more than those who had given their love sums. You offer God that. If you can sing, whether it's in key or out of key, sing it. Offer to God your music. Because God takes that music and purifies it. That is the sort of God he is. What else you might have to offer to God? Offer to God your friendship. Because God has been a friend to you. Jesus said to his disciples, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Jesus shared his friendship with those disciples. And because he shared his friendship with those disciples, they went out and were friends to other people. And those people were able to share their friendship with others. And this became a fellowship. So they offered their fellowship to others. And each day, the scripture says to us, God continued to manifest himself among the people with signs and wonders. And every day, people were being saved. We are living in a world where people need to be saved. We don't know if we have right now in our world the beginnings of another world war. But right among us, the enemy is stirring up all sorts of strife, and we have to become people who are outward looking, who refuse anymore to focus on themselves. But Lord, how do you want me to live? How do you want me to pray? How do you want me to give? How do you want me to embrace others so that today, while we have the opportunity, life can be changed? Love the Lord your God at home so that your children can see it. And when your children see it when they go to school or they go to college, born of this love, they will want to love the people around them. They will live the way that they're supposed to. Love the Lord your God in your community so that the people who see your house will realize that there's something slightly strange about that. They might say that you're crazy, but that's okay. Love the Lord your God as a family so that your house now becomes I'm going to say a community center. Forgive me for saying community center. Don't lash me. It becomes an opportunity. When somebody has a need, they will come to your door and say, I realize that there's something different about you. I need some help. Love the Lord your God in such a way that when you walk on the street, people will know that there's something different. You don't have any Jesus is the answer shirt on or the Lord lives shirt on or anything like that. But they see that there's something different because there's a glow. That's what the Lord is doing. And as you walk the street, they watch you and they mark you. And as you go into your workplace, they watch you and they mark you. Because that is what God has asked you to do. Offer everything you do as worship unto the Lord. And when you're offering as worship, the Lord says that when you worship him, he will come and be in your presence. You will be in his presence. He will be in your presence because he wants to do a transforming work in somebody's life. You have to stop. But there's so much more to go. So just give me a couple minutes more. So we move then beyond ourselves. And we begin to understand what Jesus said to his disciples. I'm calling you to keep my commands. And my command is this: love each other. The disciples were recognized at the very beginning because they loved one another. And they saw it reflected in Jesus' life. Do you remember is it St. John? St. John chapter 11. Jesus went to Lazarus's grave. And he stood there. And they were weeping. And Jesus, so overcome with emotion, he wept. Because he loved. And his disciples recognized that he was not some hard caste individual, but that he was someone who had compassion, who loved. And though he never forced anyone to come behind, to follow him, as a matter of fact, he challenged you when you said you wanted to come. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, he said, but the Son of Man don't have anywhere to lay his head. If you want to follow me, you have to hit your father and mother, your sister and your brother. You have to take up your cross and follow me. In other words, you must be willing to count the cost before you make that step of saying, I will have you as my Savior and Lord. But he says that if you make that step, I will be with you. And what I love about being a Christian is the fact that he enables me to be a Christian. Every single day. Because I have the, what you might call the propensity, just like the Israelites, to wander and stray. Within me,
If I follow my own dictates, I will wander and stray away from the Lord. But He gives me the opportunity to walk with Him. He enables me. And I'm so thankful that He enables me and keeps me along the path. It is not me doing it. I am submitting to the Lord every day so that the work that He has started in me, He can complete. That is where each of us have to be. You can't love anybody. You really can't. But when you allow the Lord God Almighty to love us through you, then the loving takes place. You are more inclined to quarrel and complain and fret and confuse and curse and degrade the other individual. But when you allow your mind to be submitted to the Lord and you say, Lord, you know, sometimes I really can't take, but that person is like, help me, Lord, to have the right attitude towards that person. And when you make the first step, you suddenly realize, hey, I can do it. Because He is doing it in you. He sees the heart. And this is why He says to the Israelites, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, and the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all your heart. I need to give you these quickly and then I'll stop. If you ask me to go on a couple of seconds more, I will go. Love the Lord with all your heart. Normally we say with all our emotions and so on. But then you think about the Hebrew. There it means with all your intellect. That is love the Lord with your intelligence. With your will. Love the Lord with your I want to do. Or I don't want to do. You understand that? With your will. Love the Lord with your intentions. What is my desire to do later on, or even now, or a couple of years down the road? Love the Lord with your intent. Because when you do that, a shaping takes place. Because it's the center of the human being as a moral agent. Love the Lord with your heart. And it says, love the Lord with your soul. That is the whole of your inner self. And this is where your emotions and your desire and your personal characteristics come into play. So you have, on the one hand, your intellect, the way you think, the way you rationalize or don't rationalize, the way you're able to analyze and synthesize and all those funny things. With your will. That is with your desire and with your intentions. And then, the third part says, we normally say, and love the Lord with your strength. I came across an amazing way of this, of explaining this. It says, the third item often is transliterated strength, but it has the concept with all your very muchness. If there's the only thing that you remember of this service, is love the Lord with your muchness. Love the Lord greatly. Love the Lord exceedingly. Love the Lord, as it were, over the top. You see, when worship comes from a life like that, it expresses how much we love God, how much we want to serve Him, how much we want to honor Him in all we do. It has nothing to do with the elements that He gives to us.
of helping that process. But what we will do is, in order to love the Lord, to worship the Lord like that, something will take place with our prayer and meditation experience. We will want to pray because we want to talk to the Lord. We want to tell Him and we want Him to tell us. We will listen long enough so that we can hear Him. And then, I want to know You more, Lord. How can I know You? And the Word, by spending time in the Word of God. Because it says that the Word of God is alive and quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces, it divides. So how you will know the Lord is when you take the Word of the Lord. It says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, in the center of my being, so that I will not sin against You. So you read the Word, you study the Word, you meditate on the Word, and you memorize the Word. And then the Lord says to you, but you can't keep it to yourself. So you go to wherever the people are of God are, and you want to share with the other people of God. You even want to tell those who don't know the Lord. So what happens? Fellowship. And you make yourself available to the other means of grace, the means of grace, communion, because there's where you meet God in fellowship with other people. Let me pause. Because I believe that the Lord has been speaking to you. He says that He wants you to love Him. And as you start to love Him, He says to you and me, love the other person. Start loving your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And then as you love your brothers and sisters in the Lord, you will realize that you need to love your neighbors who don't know the Lord. Every day, every moment, purpose in your heart to glorify your Father, even as Jesus, our Savior, glorified His Father. He did everything His Father gave Him to do. He delighted in the gift that His Father had given to Him. He was filled with the power of the Lord. He ministered in the power of the Lord. This is why they said, never a man spoke like He did. Never did a person do like He did. And He offered the gift that His Father gave Him. And every day as He offered the gift that His Father gave Him, His Father showed Him the things that He was supposed to do. And He said, Father, I have given them what You have given me to do. The things, He said to the people, the things that you see me doing are not mine. It is these things are the Father's. Whatever I see the Father doing, these are the things I do. Markham Missionary Church, this is what God is calling us to. This place has to become, if we are going to experience the favor of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord, it has to become a place where the people who are here love the Lord so much that they're willing to worship Him. And worship the Lord so much to express the love wherever they are. I don't know if this is your desire, but if this is your desire, I know it is mine. Can you just bow your head with me? Father, You know what is in each heart. You know what will affect us or hinder us from worshiping, from loving You with all our heart, our soul, and mind, with all our strength, from loving our neighbors as ourselves, from being the vessels of honor that You require of us. Father, I pray in Jesus' name now that we will come to that place of surrendering, because today is the day of salvation. Today is a day when You reach out to us to change us and to transform us into new creations. Let no one leave here, Lord God, this day without experiencing You. Because You are all in all to us. Thank You for Your word, Lord. Thank You for the fact that when we ask, You are able to give. When we seek You, we will find You. When we seek with all our hearts. When we make ourselves available to You, You will make yourself available to us. And you will come with us. You will sup with us. You will have fellowship with us. Thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. I want them to sing Victory in Jesus. I know that they had something else different to do, but can you just... And if there's anyone who has a need, the elders, I'm going to ask you to stand. I will stay in the front a couple minutes. If you there's something special that you want us to pray for, feel free to come. Elders, if you want to, you can come too, or you can stand at strategic positions.